good morning, and for some reason or other, that ended rather abruptly for me. But we do, you're listening to Glenn Coble, and we're have a progressive life that's on the air, and I think we have Dr. Feynman. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Yes, but I had trouble getting on. It's 12:13. Somebody was using the phone, so I was concerned that I wrote you on Facebook Messenger. I can't get on. But
oh, okay.
Whoever uses the phone has to realize they have to get off.
Yeah, well, actually, it wasn't on the phone. I couldn't get my screen to come up, so fortunately, Scott had not gotten driven out of the driveway, and I ran out and yelled at him, and he came in, and that's when you were able to get on with me, apparently.
I see. Okay, because it was going to be awkward if you were saying, where am I?
Yeah,
and I can't speak to you.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We didn't get a puppy, by the way.
Oh, I was going to just ask you that. Yeah. How come?
There were six when we found them. 2 days later, we were on our way over there, and they called us and said all of them are gone now.
So, how far did you travel, 100 miles?
We had gone about 50 of those miles.
Oh, my gosh.
No big thing. They were cute little puppies, and they didn't give us any guarantee. They told us they wouldn't hold them, so we just took our chance and headed that way. We're gonna take our chance and head to another place on Thursday. So
how far is that?
That's close. That's about 20 miles away.
So. Yeah, I would not go 100. I would not travel 100 miles. That's too much of a commitment when you have no guarantee, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't have, except for they were really, really cute, and there were six of them, so we thought they might last, but they did not, so.
Yeah, but see, because you thought they were so cute, that's why they didn't last.
That's right, you're right. And this week we got to take care of my grand dog, which is my son's dog, for 3 days. So yes. I've gotten a little taste of it, so we're going to...
What kind of dog is that?
Big hound.
Oh,
he's just a
you
big
prefer smaller,
dog.
Right?
Huh?
You prefer smaller dogs.
Yeah, we're looking for small. The one I'm looking at going to look at on Thursday or Friday, we're not quite sure what day, is 9 pounds.
That's small, yeah.
That is small. And the one we took care of for the last 3 days is about 40 pounds. So.
Oh, wow. It's a big difference,
it's
yeah.
It's a lot different, yeah. Anyway, now we've got all sorts of things to talk about today, but you wanted to talk about
the C-SPAN presidential survey. Yes,
C-SPAN. I was trying to remember who put that up. Tell me about it. I pulled it up and looked at it. I was a little surprised, but I'm not quite sure. I wasn't terribly surprised. I was just slightly.
But there's a lot of changes. You know, this is the fourth presidential historian survey from C-SPAN.
Yep.
They did it in 2000, 2009, and 2017, and now 2021. And the numbers do change on, you know, I would say the top numbers still remain the same. The bottom ones pretty much are the same. But in between, there's a lot of change. So we start off with the fact Donald Trump, in his first appearance in a survey, ends up third from the bottom, tied with Franklin Pierce.
Yeah.
Exact same number of points, that's why it's a tie. Only above James Buchanan, who's last, and Andrew Johnson, who is second. But actually, Andrew Johnson is only 3 points above James Buchanan, and he's not a popular guy, historically.
No.
So I have a feeling they might switch positions in the next time, that Johnson may end up below Buchanan. But also, I think the more we're learning about Trump, I am actually surprised that he ended up not in the bottom, but he's third tied for third, and I think he could end up being below Andrew Johnson in back in 4 or 8 years when they do a survey again. We'll have to see. Because so far, he only rose above 40th place in 3 areas, 32nd on public persuasion, 34th on economic management, and 36th on vision / setting an agenda. And there's, of course, the lowest position is 44. So only in 3 did he go above number 40. Again, 32 on public persuasion, 34 on economic management, and 36th on vision setting an agenda. So he doesn't have a bright future. It's clear.
That was one of the things I wrote down to ask you after I read through it. Do you think he'll go up or down? And it sounds to me like you think he might fall down.
I think he'll fall
too much.
If anything, like he gets indicted, whatever, you know, whatever comes out about January 6th,
yeah.
No, I think he will, and I think he might share with Andrew Johnson, who is as outrageously controversial a person as he is. See, Buchanan is a terrible president, but he's not a bad person in the sense of being nasty or temperamental as Andrew Johnson was and as Donald Trump is. So although Buchanan is horrible, I think, you know, we might see Trump or Johnson at the bottom 4 years from now or whatever Joe Biden leaves office or they do another survey, and Buchanan might be slightly above them in points. You know, it just sounds like that might happen. Now, a second point is Barack Obama rose from 12th in 2017 to 10th. He's in the top 10 now.
Yeah.
He passed Lyndon Johnson, which I object to. He fell to 11th. Reagan is 9th. I would have put Reagan 11th and Johnson 9th, but that's the way it goes. And also Woodrow Wilson, who had been 11th, he dropped to 13. And I predicted that Obama would be in the top 10 in May in an article on History News Network. And he ended up rising in 6 of 10 categories. So he's number 10, and that's quite a record after only being out of office 4 years. I think it's really quite a testimonial to Obama.
Well, do you think that he will continue to rise, or do you think he's locked in there?
Well, I would put him above Reagan. Of course, conservatives would be outraged to hear that.
Yeah, they would.
Kennedy is 8th. I still think Kennedy's overrated a bit. I would never put him in the top 10. I'd put him probably 11 to 15 range, but he's always been in the top 10 because I think because of the Cuban Missile Crisis, primarily, which is obviously very important, and also because he was assassinated. But he's not supposed to judge people based on how they die, and he's not supposed to base it on how they look or how their wives look, you know? So, and I think that's part of the whole emotional thing with Kennedy. So if I had my way, I would put Obama above Reagan and Kennedy, but might put Johnson higher than Obama. You know, I still think Johnson, not a pretty boy, you know, that joke that we say, but frankly, for what he did, although Vietnam brings him down. So it's so many 6 of 1, 6 of 2 of the other situations. So maybe not above, but I really think that Johnson's still underrated and Kennedy is overrated, even though I don't dislike him.
Now, how are these positions selected? Is it by general public, or is it...
No, there's 10 different categories, you know, and it's set up by the C-SPAN, C-SPAN station, and they ask different historians and political scientists and journalists, and they decide who to ask. They didn't ask me. I wish they asked. Uh-huh. I know, actually, 2 people who are on the list, and, you know, and I thought to myself, they're good, but I don't think they're better, but that's, of course, maybe ego. Who knows? You can't. What I know is 142 people were surveyed, and they had to judge each president, all 44 of them, on these 10 categories, and points were added up, and that's how Franklin Pierce ended up 3rd from the bottom, tied to Trump, exact points. It just happened to work out that way. Also, William Henry Harrison and John Tyler, who also in the same term, Harrison 1 month and Tyler finished up, they ended up in an absolute tie also, which I thought was quite funny. One guy dies after a month, and he ties with his successor, with all the burdens of 3 years and 11 months in office. I think it's quite funny. But they ended up in a tie as well, just by the way the points add up. Anyway, 3 presidents formerly rated very high suffered major losses. Andrew Jackson dropped 4 points from 18 to 22. Mm-hmm. So he's not in the top half anymore. And when I was young, Jackson was in the top 10.
Really?
He continues to drop from 18 to 22 for the last time was 18. Polk, the Mexican war president, dropped from 14 to 18. He's also in a big decline.
Well, Jackson,
and a lot of that, I think, is racial and also the unjust nature of the Mexican war that we took half of Mexico away. I think people are looking at it differently now than they often did.
Well, and that's the truth about Jackson as well. There's been a lot of stuff that's come out that is more realistic than...
The Trail of Tears by Native Americans and his actions against abolitionists, those against slavery. And of course, Polk, I don't know if I ever told you, I read somewhere recently, always learning new things, you know, the early presidents were slave owners, and you also, like, know that, but you don't think about what it really means. You often don't think deeply what it means, you know. I think that's the whole problem. But I read that while he's president, he's buying and selling slave children.
Oh my.
Now, it's not that slave adults are better, but dividing children from their families while he's in the White House, it just blows my mind, you know?
Yeah, I don't know
if that's part of the reason why he fell, but he's fallen to 18th. Of course, people say he got all that southwestern United States and settled the Texas boundary, you know. So it's all true, but it's also half of Mexico is taken away. And that's why when people say, oh, all those Mexicans coming in, it's their land. They were there before. white Americans came there.
And before them, it was the Native Americans.
Americans, too. Yeah. So it's just... But this is all part of the whole critical race theory. Nobody wants to talk about reality. You can't say anything that makes whites feel, you know, geez, that's terrible. You know, it doesn't make me feel guilty personally, or you, but we need to know what the facts are, and it should not be that whites can't handle truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
I just don't get it. And then Woodrow Wilson also lost 2 points from 11th to 13th, and I knew he was going to fall below Obama. And he, of course, civil liberties violations in the second term of office, his racism, promoting segregation in Washington, D.C., all this. And even the pandemic that occurred under him, his mishandling of that pandemic, the Spanish flu from 1918 to 1920.
Yeah, lost
so he also fell. He's still 13th, but I think he might continue to fall a bit more.
Were you able to listen to any of our previous half hour, hour?
Just the last 15 minutes. You were talking to somebody on the phone, right?
He was here. Thunderbolt.
I thought he was. I wasn't quite sure what it was about.
Thunderbolt Patterson is a former wrestler, big-time wrestler, and African-American gentleman, and he's a civil rights speaker now.
Oh, good.
And he really had some great stuff to talk about, and I wish he had been able to talk to you, because the two of you would really have a good conversation. I'm absolutely certain of that. Thunderbolt, by the way, does sound like he's pretty progressive.
He is progressive.
I believe he is.
Yeah.
Most African Americans, I would say, lean that way.
Something? You can't stereotype. I've discovered that. Have you ever heard of Alan West, who's running for governor of Texas?
Yes.
Who's African-American and is as extreme right as anybody I could imagine. He was a congressman in Florida. I think he was horrible. He moved to Texas, was the head of the Texas Republican Party, and now he's challenging Greg Abbott for not being conservative enough. And I think Greg Abbott is a monster.
Well, now, wasn't he kind of put in there by the Trump people?
I think so. So now the question is, who are those two, both horrible? I mean, to call Abbott a moderate, he's not a moderate in no way. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing. Could it help the Democrats to win the governorship? I don't know. But this Alan West is, oh, my God, he's a mental case. I really think he is. He was mistreating prisoners in, I guess it was Iraq when he was there. And he's just, you know, he's really a very dangerous person. And he's not the only one. There's a certain percentage of blacks, a guy with anything, certain percentage of Jews who love Trump. They show up at these rallies and all that, unless they're being paid to do it. But I'm assuming it's real. And I'm thinking, what kind of a frame of mind do you have that you could think this man is worthy of being backed on a big lie? I just don't get it, you know?
We had a big Trump rally up here in Ohio last week, and apparently it was not as attended as they hoped it would be, not only that, but he didn't get much publicity out of it. And
no, and also I heard a lot of people walked out on it.
Yes, they walked out about halfway through.
Because I think they realize he's a has-been. Get over it. You know, I think that's the hope, that the Trump base is weakening and that it will not be successful in 2022 and 2024. I really hope so. But meanwhile, I met a nurse today. I had to go in to the cardiologist, and the nurse is from Ohio, although she works now in Florida, and she was saying about how her family lives in the district of Jim Jordan.
She lives in our district, then.
And I mentioned I'm on the show in that, you know, WWGH. And anyway, so she was saying about how horrific Jim Jordan is.
They put him together with all the far, far, far right people. Every time you see him pictured, he's pictured with, what's the guy's name whose entire family has gone against him?
Paul Gosar of Arizona. He is really scary. Paul Gosar, yeah. But anyway, so what she mentioned when she was there visiting her family, she ran into a person she knew from high school eons ago. Oh, how you doing? And they start talking, and, you know, and she mentions, I'm from Florida now, you know, I moved to Florida. So this man says, oh, you have a great governor in Ron DeSantis. And she says, no, she's not great.
That was the end of that discussion.
And I just told her, don't call Ron DeSantis DeSantis. My friend gives him a nickname, Ron DeSatan. How's that?
Well,
Ron I'm just saying, S-H-E-A-S, not to say it. All these people, I just don't know what planet they come from. I really don't know.
Kind of strange. They are definitely, a lot of these people are definitely anti-honesty.
Yes. Anyway, I want to go on with the poll. Two presidents, Adams, both rose 4 points, which I found interesting. John Adams from 19th to 15th, and John Quincy Adams from 21st to 17th.
So, why would they have risen? What happened?
Well, I think a lot of it is because other people fall. When other people fall off,
yes.
It looks better.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but John Adams is 2 points above his son, but they're both in the top half now when they had been 21 and 19. So they're both in, you know, now they're 17 and 15. And also Monroe and Madison also went up. Monroe is now 12th ahead of, like, Jackson, the Uber thing, and Madison 16th. Well, so the founding father generation is doing better.
Where do all these gentlemen mentioned in the musical Franklin? I think they were. Maybe that got him moved up.
Well, possibly, yeah. I guess so, yeah. And also Grant continues his dramatic rise. In the original poll, he was 33rd in 2000, but he went up in 2009 to 23rd, and then to 22nd in 2017. Now he's 20th.
Who is this we're talking about?
Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, yeah.
He's above Jackson. I think Jackson would be shocked if he knew that.
Well,
that never happened in the past in polls, but boy, he has risen. And why? Because he was actually open-minded on Native Americans, and he promoted civil rights laws after the Civil War. He had an open mind on race, so he's looking better, even though there are negative things. There was corruption in his administration. I mean, everything is obviously pluses and minuses, but he's now number 20, which is quite amazing.
Well, now, when I was a young person, we thought of Grant as a drunk, and I think they found out he wasn't nearly as much of a drunk as he was given.
He did drink a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's still defined as an alcoholic, along with Pierce and George W. Bush. Those are considered the true
defined
alcoholics. That once you're an alcoholic, even if you don't drink, you're still considered one.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but yeah, and also this, I don't know how to explain. Chester Arthur, who succeeded Garfield, who was assassinated in 1881, rose from 30th from 35th, and I have no idea why. But he rose 5 points.
Well, they couldn't figure out where to put him after they lowered everybody else.
The argument might be because he signed the first civil service reform bill, the Pendleton Act, and he also vetoed the 20-year Chinese Exclusion Act and instead signed a 10-year limit on Chinese. But I don't know why that's better. Some things are hard to explain. I don't know. And also, George W. Bush rose, which I found interesting. He started off at 36th, went to 33rd, now he's 29th.
Well, you know, he's pretty good on TV anymore. Maybe start
and Bill Clinton dropped 4 points from 15 to 19, I think because of impeachment of Trump, and they reminded people of the impeachment of Clinton.
Good.
And Nixon also dropped to 29th because I think because of impeachment. So it's really strange how it is, how presidents are affected by other presidents and what happens to them. So actually Nixon went from 28th to 31st, so he fell further. It's just strange. Some of it's hard to explain, but it's a group portrait by this 142 people that participated. So it's food for thought. It's certainly interesting.
Now, if you were on that selection committee, which you should be on, we're going to vote for it.
Well, you can't campaign for it. They have to ask you.
Okay.
That's the way it works. Yeah.
Well, if you were on it, would you have said it was pretty good this time around?
As far as the overall poll?
I'd
have to do more thinking. So many people. I think it's right on Obama. I think it's wrong on Johnson, Lyndon Johnson.
Not too far wrong on Johnson.
Not too far wrong. I don't understand Chester Arthur, honestly. I don't get it. Grant, I still think he's overrated a bit. I wouldn't put him number 20. I think Nixon, I would not have knocked down further because he did have accomplishments.
Yeah.
So, but I think because of the scandals and the impeachment and then comparing it to Trump, I think that affected some of the people, I think.
Yeah.
Clinton's not going to be very happy that he was 15 and Obama was 11, was 12. Now Obama's 10 and he's 19. But I honestly think that Clinton doesn't look very good after you look at Obama. But others would argue otherwise. Oh, the economy was great. Yeah, it was. But so was the economy getting much greater under Obama after the low point under George W. Bush. I mean, so I can imagine people arguing about Obama and Clinton, you know, of course, Bill Clinton, I mean, of course, not Hillary, and wondering, you know, but I think Obama was a better president than Clinton. And I think he really did not accomplish as much as he could have, in my opinion, and he's a little too conservative for a Democrat, in my viewpoint.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, everybody has their own views. There's no absolute right or wrong answer.
Right. It's just a look back. Right. All right. Well, tell me what you think about what our governor has done. He sent, and I put that he sent National Guardsmen, but it wasn't National Guardsmen. It was police people. He sent them to the Texas border.
I think that's outrageous. You know, I think he did it because he's got a competition for the nomination, and he's trying to save himself. That's why I think Governor Abbott is becoming more extremist because of Alan West. It's all political to make themselves look tougher right-wing than their opponent. But actually, I still salute Mike DeWine for how he handled the whole pandemic. I still think he did a good job, and that's why he's in trouble, because a lot of people seem to think that that they cannot be affected by it. But now with this new variant that's out there, it is said that almost everybody who gets really sick and dies is a person who has not done it. And I wrote about that on my blog. Mm-hmm. For other people, as well as yourself, your own family, your friends, people you know, and people you don't know, stop being selfish. Be, as Joe Biden said on the 4th of July, patriotic, and get the damn, vaccinations, because the people who are dying now are people who are not vaccinated.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I just put up on I haven't done anything on Twitter in a long time, and I just put a new thing up on Twitter. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. This was my latest Twitter.
How many Twitter posts do you have?
Oh, I have an awful lot. But
you do? Yeah, I also do, yeah. You haven't done it lately, yeah.
I haven't done it in probably a month. And this one I put up was, I said 99.2% of those who died from COVID last month had refused to be vaccinated for the virus. 41% of Republicans say they will refuse it, while 4% of the Democrats refuse. There is hope for America. It's called survival of the fittest or the smartest.
It's what we call the Darwin Award.
Yes.
These people are so dumb and so selfish. They don't care about anybody else. It's outrageous.
It is crazy. What's
the big deal? We have polio vaccine. You get flu. Not everybody. A lot of people get flu vaccine. You get all the measles, mumps, rubella. What is the big deal? I don't get it.
And it doesn't even hurt. I mean, no. It doesn't.
It's anti-science. Now, nobody says science is perfect, but I would trust doctors and scientists, not people who believe in junk science. And that's what it is when they say, oh, they're going to have something planted in them that keeps track of them, or they're going to not be able to have children. That's bull. It's such bull, you know?
Now, I have a son-in-law who has not gotten a shot. And he's kind of a dominant son-in-law. Now, if you can be a dominant person over my daughter is very dominant, but he refuses to get a shot.
Your daughter has it, huh?
My daughter has not gotten a shot.
Oh, she hasn't either.
Because she, I guess, is intimidated or doesn't want to have to do the argument with him.
Oh,
and
that's
therefore, my grandchildren have not had the shot. And it really does bother me that...
Well, they're too young to have the shot, aren't they?
No, I have three of the four are old enough. They're over 12, so...
I think schools are mandating it, aren't they?
Not yet. Not in North Carolina.
Just North Carolina. Well...
But anyway,
hope everything goes well, but there have been cases of people who refuse to do it, and then they've died because they got sick, they died.
Absolutely.
I posted on a couple of people.
More and more are dying, and it's because of this new strain that's popped up. But we're keeping our fingers crossed, but
I was young to know. I don't think there was much anti-polio vaccine activism back in the 50s. I'm not aware. I was too young to really know. I don't think people were that stupid at that point or that political. They would look at it as being something political, when it's a question of health and safety and also public concern, not just yourself, you know?
Yeah. and it really shouldn't have anything to do with politics. It should all be about health and safety. And I really believe that a lot of people are. I believe that my son-in-law is using. I don't know. He doesn't quote politics or anything like that, but I think he's kind of using it because he's afraid of getting a shot. And there are people that are afraid of getting shots.
I mean, what does he do for a living?
He works for the city.
What city? Raleigh?
Fuquay Varina.
What's that?
Fuquay Varina. It's southeast of Raleigh.
Okay, what kind of work for the city?
He works with the water department.
Oh, okay,
he's in
yeah.
In charge of all the guys that go around and check your meters.
So. Does your daughter have an occupation, or she's just a mother?
No, she's in charge of at the local recreation department of their swim team and all their swim classes and the people that instruct the swim classes.
So. Well, but I would think those people would be expected to have the shot if they're dealing with children.
Yeah, you would think so, and I think my daughter has said to her mother that she's getting the shot, so she may have the first shot by now.
Shh, don't say that out loud. Oh, God, I think it's so preposterous, really. It unbelievable. Is, yeah.
And I know she just doesn't want to have that fight with her husband.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Are you surprised? I mean, maybe I should be saying this on the air. Are you surprised, or are you so, like, would expect that your son-in-law would feel that way?
I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised.
You did not think he would take that view, huh?
Yeah, I would think he's kind of a semi-Trumper.
He is.
He
okay.
won't put on bumper stickers or fly flags or anything, but I think he kind of thinks that way.
Oh, boy. And your daughter's so, like, neutral?
No, my daughter's very, very Democrat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
sounds like it's like some fireworks sometimes.
There are. And,
well, most marriages happen anyway,
yeah,
you know.
We do. 2 weeks ago, I don't think we talked, my wife and I. The first time in a long time that we didn't kiss goodnight. So.
Oh, my God. But you know the old saying, don't go to bed angry.
Yes. And
they always say that, you know.
And I thought of that as I told my wife I wasn't going to kiss her.
You're the one that said it.
Oh, yeah. It was me.
You a tough egg, boy.
Anyway.
Oh, my God. It's not funny, but it sounds funny.
What do you think? Why? We're on the second subject that I wrote down. This resistance to taking the shots. I can't think of any other reason than it's totally political.
It should never be political.
Yeah, there are.
And I blame Trump for that. Trump should have, since he had it, he should have said, you all should get it.
Yeah. Now,
he's really done harm in that regard, too. Because he doesn't care about anybody but himself. That's the whole thing. People don't get shots, don't care about anybody but me, and they think the world revolves around them, and those are the kind of people, hopefully, are all single and don't live with anybody, because nobody should be that way with people around them, you know?
Well, recently we've been told that Trump was very sick when they...
Yes.
Now... You'd think he'd be smarter. He would understand if he got that sick. Surely other people would too, but apparently not. I don't know. This new what is it called? I'm trying to think what the variance is called. There's a name for it. But anyway, maybe that will force some of these people, and that was one of the other questions I had. It does seem like some of the Republican governors are softening a bit about being anti-mask and anti-stuff like that.
Well, not the ones who are thinking of running for president, though. Not D.C. Noem of South Dakota, or DeSantis of Florida, or Abbott of Texas. No, they're all planning to run. I wrote an article on, you know, listing all the people who could possibly run or were rumored to be running, you know, and it's quite a list. And I also put a list down of the others who are not of the same vein, who actually, although I wouldn't vote for them, are better. If you want, I could go over that. The ones who are less objectionable but more reasonable candidates. Can I do that?
Sure, please. Let's do it.
Okay, no special order. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse.
Yeah.
is one. I think he's reasonable. He's old conservative, but he's not nuts, and he's been critical of Trump and voted against him on the impeachment. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, is my son's state. Oldest son. Utah Senator Mitt Romney, possibly coming back. Former Ohio Governor John Kasich.
Okay.
Ricky Kasich is within the range of reasonable. And then the two people who voted for the January 6th committee in the House, Liz Cheney, who I don't like her father, I would never want to vote for her, but Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney and my Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Those six, I'm not saying I vote for them, but I can feel if one of them won, the world wouldn't end. But most of these others are really terrible. I'll go through the list if you want. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. It's starting with Hawley and Cruz. They really basically are traitors and seditionists, and they encourage what happened on January 6th. And then Florida Senator Rick Scott, former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who is such a disappointment.
Yeah, what happened to her?
She's off the wall.
She went from one, you know, fairly decent, thoughtful person to crazy.
She is really off the wall. And then South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who seems to think she's presidential material because Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota. And then former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Oh, he's so horrible. Oh, my God. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, despite the scandals he had in his state. Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton. These people are horrible. Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Utah Senator Mike Lee. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, former Vice President Mike Pence, who actually looks better than most of them because at least he did the right thing on January 6th, but they don't care about him. And also Fox News Channel host Tucker Carlson. Oh, my God. I'm saying that if any of those people are the nominee and if they can fix elections by not letting people vote, I fear for the future of the country. I really do. But the other six that I mentioned, you know, are within the range of reason. Sass, Hogan, Romney, Kasich, Cheney, and Kinzinger.
Now, do you think the Republican Party will ever turn back to people like that? Or are we around the bend with Mr. Trump?
I don't know. I'm just hoping that there's a big collapse and all these Trumpites lose in 2022 and then it changes the course of the Republican Party, because otherwise the Republican Party is in its death now. There's no question.
Well, it seems to me that I'm the only person in the world that thinks that that's going to happen in 2022. I really think that they're going to lose seats, the Republicans.
Well, they better, because if they gain, then they gain control of both houses. Yeah. Well, it's just history tells us unlikely.
Yeah, but history...
But, you know, history's not always...
Right.
You know, I do think we're in an unusual situation, but I'm just praying that that's the case, because we have a lot of tension ahead of us for the next... But July now, next 16 months, I mean, oh my God, you know, and the thought that you could have a Greg Abbott as horrible, horrendous as he is, replaced by Alan West, but I don't see him winning there. First of all, I don't see him winning because I don't care what people say, conservatives don't want a black president or a black governor. I don't think they do, and he's still black, no matter how right-wing he is.
Yeah.
Beyond that, he's crazy. He makes Abbott look not so crazy, but it's all relevant, not relevant. It's just, you know, it's just crazy. It's just, I don't know. I'm just hoping in Florida, Charlie Crist, who's a past governor, can run, and, you know, he's running and can defeat Ron DeSantis. Otherwise, I think he's probably the front runner right now if Trump doesn't run. But actually, they had an issue when he was in Florida this past week after the disaster at Surfside. He had a rally up in Sarasota, and we found out that you know, DeSantis said, oh, don't hold it because we just had this horrible, horrible situation here with the law.
He held it anyway.
No, he does it anyway. Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't show up, DeSantis. He was in Miami because of what's going on, which is the right thing to do. So I've been reading that apparently Trump's annoyed he didn't show up, and DeSantis is annoyed that Trump wouldn't listen to him, so they may have had a bit of a breach. Can you believe this?
I hope so.
And from what I gather, Trump did not even say, I might be wrong, I didn't watch it, it hasn't been reported that he said, oh, I'm so sorry about what happened in Surfside. He doesn't give a damn about anybody, he's just himself.
Of course.
He's such a sick man. He really is, you know.
After, 35,000 lies, why would you believe him on anything like that?
Yes.
Anyway, all right, let's get to this new ransomware attack thing.
Well, that's a real headache. I haven't watched the news the last few hours. I don't know what can be done about that. It's a real nightmare, but I think we're going to have to start an attack on the Russian cyberspace, I guess. But I don't know where it's going to lead. I have no idea. It's just such a new thing, you know?
Well, Biden has supposedly threatened Putin when they talked that if you go this far, we will go that far. And he did, and Biden did say it'd be a shame to lose that oil out in some oil field in Russia, and it was hit, it was exploded or something, that oil field, just like yesterday or something.
Oh, wow. Who did that?
I don't think anybody's taking credit for it right now.
That be us?
Could be. Who knows?
Ooh, I hadn't heard that. That I had not heard. You know?
I'm going to have to follow.
If you miss
that.
Just a day or half a day, you lose track of what's going
on. You're right.
Said, oh, my God. I wanted to ask you, though, if I could go back. You mentioned the number 35,000. I'm trying to figure out, what are you referring to?
I think it was the Post. The Washington Post kept track on the number of lies that Trump said during his tenure, and I think it was either 30 or 35,000, and they quit counting.
They said they stopped counting? Really?
I think that's what happened. They stopped.
But it was 602,000, the last number I heard, and that's the Civil War, 4 years, and just a little more than a year.
No, this is the number of lies, not lives.
Oh, lies? I'm sorry. Oh, I think it's about lies. Oh, lies. Oh, I think, yeah, he's over 30,000. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said lies.
No.
Lies. Oh, yeah. He's still lying.
Yeah.
Big lies going on every day.
Every day.
And people go along there. It's a cult-like thing. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you said lies. I thought you said lives with a V. Okay. Yeah, but also, he's responsible for the fact that more people died than needed to die. You know, obviously he couldn't prevent it completely, but he has a lot on his, he does have a conscience, but you know what I'm saying, he should have, but what he did not do about COVID-19.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Well, we're down to our last 4.5 minutes, but I did want to throw this in there. I know where you stand on gun control, and I know as a Democrat, I was not supposed to use the term gun control. You're supposed to use gun sanity or something like that. You're not supposed to say control, because people don't like to be controlled.
Yes.
Gun
regulation.
Yes. 150 people were killed in more than 400 shootings across the country on the 4th of July.
This is, I saw that. It's absolutely, it makes you afraid to leave the house, I'll tell you. You can't just say it's in the, quote, bad neighborhoods. I'm sure a lot of these were not so-called in the bad, whatever that means, neighborhoods. But it is a horrifying situation. You can never feel safe. You go to the supermarket or the public library or to a school or a college campus or even a place of business, you know, regular, you know, retail store. I just don't know what can be done about it. But
now the problem is, some of our really bright politicians and their core base are saying we should have open carry with no restrictions. No,
that's Texas.
Yeah, you don't need to take a license. You don't have to do anything.
No, I do not agree with that. Do you?
If it's in Texas, maybe it'll send Texas back to the good old, the high noon stuff.
But you don't agree with the idea of open carry now.
I don't believe in closed carry. I really don't. I think if you're going to carry a gun to go hunting, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you should have a permit to do that. If you have a gun that's loaded in your car, that should be against the law, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. We have more requirements for a driver's license and things like that than to do for guns. It's ridiculous.
And I know I have a lot of friends that think I'm too hyper on that. And I also know a lot of my friends said, well, that's a slippery slope, and then somebody's going to take away all our guns. I know nobody that wants to take away all our guns. Nobody. Not one single person. Maybe my wife. I really don't. Even she wouldn't say that.
No.
I don't know why people think that.
But I don't know why people worship guns that much. They think they're safe at home. I don't think it necessarily makes you safe.
No.
I think it's safe to have a dog that barks.
Well, it's probably more dangerous to have a gun at home.
Yes, and if they don't have it locked up, and little kids get to it, and then you hear about people, they're shopping, and they have the gun in their, you know, in their bag, and the kid goes in and kills the other kid. There was a case of a five-year-old killed at 2 years, not planned, because he went into the mom's purse, and it was loaded, and it shot, you know, it's just unbelievable, the kind of stupidity of people. They really think, and also the fact that, who says you're going to be able to have the gun right there where you need it if your home is invaded, you know?
In most cases, you will panic and you'll get killed before you get shot off,
It's so total insanity, yes.
Well, we're down to our last minute and a half. What do you have that we have to know about?
Well, I've already gone over the thing about the Republican potential candidates.
Yep.
Well, I did have that article, Joe Biden, the true meaning of patriotism, get vaccinated. I think that's absolutely the case.
Yes.
And also about the importance of the 4th of July. And also Stephen Breyer. He looks like he's now retiring, and I think that's a mistake. And that leaves the Supreme Court in danger of another Republican appointment if Breyer hangs on, dies in office, and somehow the Republicans gain control of the Senate. And that could happen if one Democratic senator dies, God forbid, then suddenly the Republicans control. It could happen any day.
Well, even if the Democrats win both the House and the Senate back in 22, it sounds to me like McConnell will not allow them to vote on a new Supreme
Court. That's if they control, but if they don't control, if the Democrats keep control, then there's no problem.
Okay.
But I'm saying right now that we have seven senators in their 80s, I think it is, and another 10 in their 70s, both parties, and let's face it, they could pass off, pass out, you know, and die. And if it's a Democrat, it would suddenly give the majority leadership to Mitch McConnell again. So I really wish he had decided to retire and allow Joe Biden to pick his replacement. Now it's all ego, and I think it's wrong, but we can't do anything about it.
Okay, we're going to have to get out of here. We only got 10 seconds.
So okay, thanks so much again. We'll see you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Feynman, thank you very much, and have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place.